Hey everybody, and welcome to the Growth Tribe podcast, where we're all about growing ourselves and empowering us to live badass lives on our terms. I'm Ellen, and I'm a former biomedical researcher turned coach who finally nixed my own BS and started to take action to create a life that was mine. I transformed my health, traveled the world for a year, started my own business, and probably freaked my family out about the choices I was making along the way. Here on the Growth Tribe, we believe that it's not always about success. Sometimes it's just about doing life right and on your terms. And we have to be purposeful and intentional about laying that foundation, whether that's learning how to show up as our most authentic, confident selves, getting clear on what we want in our lives, and so much more. We've got amazing interviews, big stories, tips, tricks, and no bullshit action steps that we can all learn from. And I am so pumped to share it with you. So with that, welcome to this episode of The Growth Tribe. Friends, welcome back to the Growth Tribe podcast. It is 2019. I know I did my impulse recording solo episode last week just so we could start to really get actionable, get tangible about how we can take advantage of this New Year's mindset. That was the impulse recording, but today is the planned one. This podcast is fire. I'm so excited for you guys to hear it. Today, I have my friend Keisha Fitzgerald on this podcast, and homegirl is a woman of action. That's really all I can say about her. She is the queen of taking action, making moves, and I am so freaking excited to have her on here. I reached out to her probably 3 weeks before I wanted to launch this podcast, because I knew that kicking off 2019, I wanted to give you guys some legit tips that will help you guys take 2019 by storm. And that is exactly what Keisha and I have touched on. We really have run the gamut of subjects, but every single thing that we talk about is so actionable, so tangible, and so incredibly necessary. We're going to talk about enjoying the process, listening to the voice in your head when it says, you know, I want more in my life. I don't want to just settle for good when I can have great. And all of the things that you need to do to really, really make sure you're creating that great in your life. She has a hell of a story, all sorts of incredible, incredible tips to offer all of you guys. And frankly, you're just gonna love her energy. So I am so freaking pumped to have her on, and let's get into it. Ellen here, and you're listening to The Growth Tribe. Hey everybody, and welcome back to The Growth Tribe podcast. I am pumped today to have somebody who I've known for how long have we known each other now, Keisha? 5 years?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pumped to have this girl on. I randomly reached out to her like a week ago and was just like, will you do a spur of the moment podcast interview? And she was game, and I'm so pumped to have her. Keisha, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much, Ellen. I'm so excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
I love that we're both like, we're so into personal growth and so into like all this, like, let's take action in our lives. And so can you just to lay some context, lay a little bit of a foundation, tell us a little bit about you, your story, your background, and then we'll dive into action.
Absolutely. So thank you again so much for having me. I'm super excited. And I am all about taking action, because I think there's a lot of us that feel really inspired or motivated, but we don't do anything with it. So this is going to be awesome. But for a little bit of backstory, I'll start 5 years ago and just kind of take you up to speed, but I'll do more high level. So 5 years ago, I was working in downtown Seattle at a company where I was in IT project management and engineering recruiting. And I was doing all the things on paper, right? I, you know, went to college, I got the job, I was moving up in my career. Everything made sense on paper, but internally, I was really unfulfilled. I thought that there was something wrong with me because of the fact that I had all of the things that I thought that if I had those things, I would feel good. I, you know, like I said, I had the career and the trajectory. I had the income. I had the friends. I was living in downtown Seattle. I had the guy that eventually I'll marry, like all of these things that were like, check, 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 check. But what's wrong with me? Mm-hmm. Why am I crying randomly? Why do I feel like I have this like gut feeling in my stomach that I want something more, But everybody else is like, Keisha, you should be so happy. You know, what else could you possibly need? So that being said, I was working in this, you know, corporate job that I really did love. I had managers that I really did love, but with that gut feeling that I wanted more, I decided that I would kind of start to work on something else in my life that was bugging me because I could not figure out what that more feeling was and how I could get more fulfilled. Mm-hmm. And like a lot of us can probably connect with, I was happy. It's not that I was sad or depressed or my back was against the wall. I was actually happy and I had a really good life, but I knew that I wanted great, but I couldn't figure out what it was. So instead of changing career paths or like, you know, going out on a whim doing something random, I decided to take control of my health and fitness because that's something that had always bugged me, especially working in this job where I was overseeing a team that was in China while I was in Seattle. So there's a big time difference. I was working crazy hours, really just trying to pour into my career. So instead of fixing everything, I decided I'm going to fix one thing that bugs me. And I ended up stumbling into joining an online virtual boot camp to work on my health and fitness goals and fell in love with that because it worked for me and I loved the community around it. Turns out that the thing that I started to fix one thing that was bugging me, which was my health and fitness, right, and kind of how I felt about myself, that actually was the catalyst that changed my career path. So fast forward a little bit, I ended up building an online coaching business around the health and fitness, partnering with a company called Beachbody. And I decided to build that on the side, became super obsessed with it, really decided to go all in. We moved from Seattle, where I was living at the time. My boyfriend got into NYU dental school. We moved to New York into a tiny little apartment that was like 10 times my rent in Seattle in downtown New York City. I got my extra dream job. Right? I was working at Google at the time, which is the company that I'd wanted to work at for my entire life, but my heart was still with this coaching business that I was building on the side. But it was really an extra challenge right then because I was already fighting that I had everything on paper, quote unquote, had it all, right? Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, I was working at a company that I had always wanted to work at with a higher salary in downtown New York City, but my heart still really was with this side business that I was building. So I worked really hard and built up a really large scale business with Beachbody and left the corporate world in April of 2015. Since then, I supported Cena and I, my boyfriend Cena and I, while he was at dental school and he wrapped up there. We decided I've got an online business. I can live anywhere. He can work anywhere. And we packed up our stuff. Actually, we packed up everything into a rental minivan and we drove all the way across the country with our dog and moved to Southern California. And a bestie. Yes, my best friend Jackie, who is the real MVP because she can drive at night. But so the three of us with our dog, my best friend Jackie, my boyfriend Cena, and our dog, and I drove all the way across the country and moved to Southern California, where now I still have my full-time online coaching business. My boyfriend Cena is now a dentist, and I also just launched a podcast, and I'm kind of in this weird stage of trying to figure it all out, like so many of us are. So that's the backstory kind of rundown.
No, and I like, it's so funny. I feel like I only started noticing this recently, which is hilarious and ridiculous at the same time, how many parallels there are between our stories. I think probably the biggest difference is the fact that you were in a career that you really were like happy with and that you enjoyed. Yeah. And I wasn't. Biggest difference, but the thing that started it for both of us was I need to take control of something for me because I know I want more. And that thing, yep, for both of us was health and fitness. So this is how Keisha and I originally know each other, is through, yeah, health and fitness, through Beachbody coaching. Because that's, yep, where, and can I just say, I need to say this just from the get-go. I'm so grateful to you and Jackie both for making these crazy steps, these quote-unquote crazy steps in your lives, because without that, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now. I don't think if I hadn't been introduced to coaching through what you guys were doing, I don't think I ever would have even known that there was something different for me. So yeah, thank you for that. But I guess what I'm curious about too is that you, so you took this step just to take control of your health and fitness. At what point did it become more? And what do you think were the most crucial pieces to you, not only continuing along the health and fitness journey, but not giving up on this dream of more and not giving up on ultimately the love you had for coaching?
Yeah. Oh, I love that question. Great question. So a couple of things is I was obsessed with the process and falling in love with the process rather than what the process produced in everything, right? Mm-hmm. So I've been that way with health and fitness. I wasn't so obsessed with the end goal of I want to look this way. I was obsessed with I want to feel good today. And then the next day, and then the next day, right? And I think a lot of times we get so focused on the end goal that we forget about the process. And the same thing happened with my business, where I was obsessed with making this fun for me to build this business. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't so focused on how can I turn this into a seven-figure business, which it is now. I wasn't obsessed with that. I didn't even envision myself as the person that would know how to act in that capacity. Mm-hmm. So I knew that every single day that I showed up, I would be putting deposits in my confidence bucket and that it would become easier to show up for my workouts if I felt more confident, and it would become easier to show up for my fitness if I was more confident, sorry, and also my business. So I was really focused on the process. That's one thing. And to stay so consistent, I was really motivated by the because of you, my life's changed. If you know the love languages, I'm a words of affirmation and quality time person. Yeah. Which means like when hearing you even say like, thank you, Keisha, for doing this, you know, it changed the course of my life. That's what fueled me. And what happened is I started to get messages like that. And I was paralleling the fact that while I was really happy in my job and I was actually so grateful for the career path that I had, I wasn't getting messages like that at work, right? Mm-hmm. I was helping software developers put code on firewalls. Like no one was like, Keisha, you changed my life. I mean, cybersecurity is a real thing. So there's that, but it didn't change people's lives. So part of it was the fulfillment that I was getting. Part of it was falling in love with the process. And the last piece was I didn't see myself and my story represented as much as I thought it should be. So I decided to be the representation of it. And I just really made a line in the sand when it clicked for me, when I saw, wait a second, I loved my job. I had a six-figure income. I had the guy, I had the friends, but I wanted more. Why are there not more stories of people who are willing to give up good and go for great, their version of that? And because I didn't see it, I felt like if that is in me, then I've got to go do it because someone else needs to see someone doing that. And I'm going to be the person that does. Mm-hmm. And so that kept me in it, I think. Mm-hmm. But for someone listening that's starting something new, the confidence deposits in your bucket of just showing up day after day after day, that's how it's going to be built. Mm-hmm. I would never have been able to speak on some of the stages that I've been or even do a podcast interview mm-hmm. had I not been focused on the person I was becoming in pursuit of the goal rather than just the goal, right? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so many things there that I feel like I could comment on, but I actually want to almost come back to the fact that, and I feel like maybe this is some of the most important piece of your story that a lot of people who are listening now, who are listening to this in the context of it's New Year's, let's make some freaking changes in my life.
Yeah.
Is you really listen to the voice that said, I want more and I'm not going to settle for I'm going for great. I'm not settling for good. So if somebody is hearing your story, hearing this incredible journey that you've gone on, that frankly, you need to check out her podcast because we're only scratching the freaking surface of Keisha's story. Like if somebody has that voice in their head, what would you say to them to get started on this process? What is going to be the thing that kicks off this process if they have that same voice in their head?
Yes. So I think that inaction breeds fear. and a lot of nasty stories that go on in our head, right? We sit in this, like, what's the action step that I can take? We sit in this space for so long that we start to narrate this story that's like, well, I can't do this. And then throw in the fact that we live in a social media world now where you're scrolling, seeing everyone's carefully curated content. You're comparing your behind the scenes and that crazy story in your head while you're sitting thinking that not taking action is you not having to take action. But not taking action is an action, right? Which sounds like kind of twister, like tongue twistery. But if you know that inaction breeds fear, I would encourage you to not try and renovate the entire house. Like, think of your life as a house. Don't renovate the entire house. Pick one room first. Because if you're deciding to decorate your house and you're like, I have to get all of these things and your list is so, so long, you're not going to start. You're going to feel so overwhelmed. You're not going to take any steps, which means, again, you're going to be in that inaction fear place and you're going to start telling yourself crazy stories and you might never start in the first place. Or you're going to be in this space where you feel like there's so much to do, you could never accomplish it. When in reality, take it back. Pick one thing that you want to focus on. It doesn't mean you can't have a million goals for 2019, but pick one thing that you're going to focus on first and let's master that and get some of those small wins, those confidence deposits of, rather than deciding you're going to lose, you know, let's just say for sake 100 pounds in 2019. Okay, well, we're going to need to start with one, right? Mm-hmm. We're going to need to start with one workout each day and building that confidence, because then you've got that confidence layer that when you're setting your next goal or the next thing you want to accomplish in 2019, you can then look back at your old self and you can say, okay, a week ago, I couldn't even do my workouts consistently, but now I've shown up 5 days last week. Like, I know I can do this, and build on that confidence and set yourself up for small wins. So to sum that up, pick one thing rather than renovating your entire house in one day. Otherwise, you're not going to get anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. And I feel like that's what we both did in our stories, was we picked the, cool, I have this grand vision for more in my life. Maybe I don't even know what the hell more is, but I know I want more. And this is one place where I can create more. And that was health and fitness for both of us. So whatever it is for you who's listening, like, pick the one thing and focus on that. And I think the other huge piece, which you talked about just a second ago, is the consistency piece. Like, I like, you know me, science, I can't shake Ellen Scientist. So, like, I still just research the shit out of things. And I love reading about, like, how do we cultivate more discipline? How do we cultivate more innovation? And I cannot tell you how many freaking times I've read just the momentum. You've got to create momentum for yourself. And that momentum, you call it confidence deposits. Like, that comes from giving yourself an easy win. And maybe that easy win, like, I like using health and fitness as an example because we can all wrap our brains around it. So maybe that easy win for you is just getting up and moving. Like, you don't have to do a freaking HIIT workout. You don't have to do, like, I don't care how you move, but maybe the win for you is just getting up and moving. Maybe it's stretching. But give yourself the smallest win you can possibly give yourself. And the more you do that back to back to back to back, the more that's going to create momentum for you. And the bigger of a win you're going to be able to give yourself, you know, a month down the road, 2 months down the road.
Totally. And,
like, consistency is so huge.
And I think one thing I want to plug here that could be a really good resource for someone is, and I'm sure you've read her book, Mel Robbins' 5-Second Rule. Mm-hmm. I honestly think that's such a good book for someone that's trying to develop any type of habit. Of course, health and fitness is great, but starting your day, she talks about the science behind something so simple of counting down 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and jumping out of bed and launching yourself like a rocket. And I love it because it's so damn simple, and you can apply it in the morning or you can apply it before you're going to make any type of decision around health and fitness. But read her book, Mel Robbins' 5-Second Rule. So good.
Love. Dude, I feel like we've already got, like, we were talking about, like, what are actionable tips we can give people? Yeah. Tip number one, if you hear the voice in your head saying, I want more, freaking listen to it. Tip number two, give yourself a like small, focus on the one thing. Actually, we've got three tips. listen to the voice, you know, give yourself that, focus on that one thing, and then small wins, focus on small wins to like, give yourself that momentum. So what would then tip number four be? You talked a lot about the process. I feel like that's probably where we focus next. Cause I totally agree. Like, it has to be an enjoyable process. I used to like say all the time, like, if you've got to make it enjoyable for yourself. If you want to be a morning person, then give yourself shit in the morning that you enjoy. So what are some like little tricks that you've used to make the, you know, the process more enjoyable for yourself in terms of, you know, building your business or your fitness or whatever? Yeah. What are some ways in which people could make the process more enjoyable, even if it's like a mindset shift?
Yeah. Ooh. Okay. So one tool that I would recommend, so I love talking about this, but one tool I would recommend that I'm obsessed with, my boyfriend Cena and I are obsessed with, the Enneagram test. If you haven't taken it, it's a free test you can take online. And it basically gives you a numerical value that kind of helps you understand yourself better based off this number that it gives you in the test that was disturbingly accurate for both of us. And why I like it is because it gives you a tool to kind of reflect back on yourself and become more self-aware of what you need to make the process more enjoyable for you. Mm-hmm. So I'm a 7 on the Enneagram, which means the enthusiast, which if you probably read the titles, you might be able to tell what you are if you're self-aware. And I knew right away, I was like, I'm going to be the enthusiast. Just watch. But I am, which means by nature, I'm a little bit more focused on the actual process and making sure that it's fun and enjoyable than the end goal. So by nature, I have a little bit of that, but I want to talk to you through Cena's lens because he's a 3, which is the achiever. And I think a lot of people are achievers, where Cena is much more focused on getting to the goal and accomplishing the goal, and he can forget about the process. And so through his lens, what we've worked on a lot is, what are the small ways that we can make the tiny little things along the way more enjoyable? So whether that is adding in more opportunities to celebrate, and we talked about this a little bit with number 3, but to celebrate, for example, I like to write down things on a to-do list that I've already done just so I can cross more things off. Yeah. Like for today, I showered, I worked out, I showered, I blow dried my hair. I would put all of those 3 things. Those 3 things are going to be on my to-do list when I map it out, and I'm going to cross them all out for extra satisfaction, right? Mm-hmm. So like, what can you do to make things more enjoyable? Mm-hmm. And that's what we talk about, Cena and I talk about often too, where you're in your email, for example. And what about if, because science, and Brendon Burchard has done a lot of studies around this and tapped into a lot of studies with high performance habits,
that your brain can actually,
yes, he's so good, that your brain can only actually focus for 50 minutes on any particular task. So why not map out your day by time blocking to create more opportunities for celebration and to create that that movement in your body throughout your day, even if you stand up. I'm a big fan of dance parties. I know you are too, Ellen.
I was gonna say,
yeah, that's your jam.
Trampoline. You gotta insert the trampoline here.
I do. Okay, so also, if you want to buy a mini trampoline, it's $30 on Amazon. That has been a huge part of my day. So I'll talk about that too. But basically, to kind of make this a little bit more concise. Number 1, take your Enneagram test and figure out what it is that actually motivates you to take action, and then reverse engineer it. So if you are someone who's more focused on the end goal and you find it hard for you to find joy in the process by nature, like I said, just personality-wise, that's not that difficult for me, partially because of just my makeup. So I don't feel like that's beneficial to be like, well, it's just part of who
just
I am.
Do it. Come on.
But the tangible advice is, set your day up with time blocking to create more opportunities to celebrate and create more opportunities for a little bit of movement throughout your day. So if you do a timer when you're going through emails, 50 minutes, 50 going backwards, when that timer goes off, your productivity is already plummeting at 51 minutes anyways. So stand up, shake it out, move around. If you're in an office, do a dance party. That could be fun. Or go to the bathroom. go say hi to Sally in HR. I feel like there's always a Sally in HR. Go to the Sally paper Sue. Shredder, whatever it is. Sally Sue, my girl. I always say Sally Sue because I don't know anyone named Sally Sue. So I feel like that just, you know, is never going to offend anyone. But if you are named Sally Sue, slide into Ellen's DMs, not mine, and tell her. Anyway, point is movement, celebration, create that process. And then if I were to add a step number 5 to this, I would say accountability. Mm-hmm. And I don't, for me, obviously I've built my entire business around like virtual boot camps and accountability for building my business and working on my fitness goals. But in general, having someone that knows what's important to you and why it's important to you that can remind you and reflect that back onto you when mm-hmm. things get hard is so crucial. Mm-hmm. And even on the daily things, just telling someone that you're going to do something and wanting to show up for them because you said that you would, that extra layer of accountability towards any goals mm-hmm. is so huge. So I would say step number 5 would be accountability.
And I have things to add to this as well. You're talking about like the time blocking as well. One of my favorite apps that I have on my phone is called Focus Keeper. And you can set it so that it gives you a 50-minute time chunk. And then after that 50-minute time chunk, a bell will ring and then it'll give you 5 minutes. And it's like, this is your break time. So when that goes off for me, I will full on jump up and have a dance party. I've even in the middle of my workspace, as I've been on remote here, put on like the headphones, had my phone in my back pocket and just kind of like got up and started dancing around. But like that's what I do during the 5 minute breaks is I will get up and dance, or I don't have a trampoline, but I want to get one. Get up and bounce on your trampoline.
You should get one.
Or even just like, I don't like do air squats or like calf raises or something, just move. So that would be my add on to like the time thing. And also relative to accountability, like Brendan Burchard, come back to him. One of the first things I learned when I was doing his high performance coaching this past year was they talked about the 10 factors that predict success. And it was basically, he's very, very like, you know, measurement oriented and like, let's score yourself in this way to figure out where you are so that we can get you to where you want to be. And I love that, you know, scientist brain just digs the analytical part of it. But this particular system, social support, was one of the 10 factors to predict success, to predict whether or not you're going to achieve a goal, is do you have social support in achieving that? Like if you have accountability, I love these stats. Here, I got some stats for your ass.
Yes. Yes.
You are 60% more likely to achieve a goal if you have somebody to be accountable to, and you are 95% more likely to achieve a goal if you not only have somebody that you're accountable to, but you consistently meet up with that person to have them hold you accountable. Boom.
I believe it. Yep. Yeah. I mean, it's the secret sauce of everything. And people wonder why they don't stay in motion. Well, because when you have an off day, if it's only you that you're letting down, then it feels like it's easier, right? Yeah. It's easier to just say, well, whatever, it doesn't matter. I'll just do it tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But when you've got random connections of people that are counting on you, you're going to show up. Mm-hmm. And for the people that are entrepreneurs, because I help a lot of people build side hustle businesses and even full-time businesses, that if you don't create that, it's really difficult when you can't get fired for not showing up, right? Nobody's going to fire you if you're your own boss. So you almost have to create what you need versus you talk to someone who's in a corporate environment, where if I didn't go to work at my job, someone's going to call me and ask where I am. And I'm probably going to get fired if I do that 2 days in a row. Mm-hmm. But if you're your own boss, no one's calling you to ask where you are. Nobody is going to fire you if you don't show up. You are in control of your destiny. So if you want to be successful, like Ellen, you know, like you just said, 60% of people are going to stick with something if they have accountability. Well, you need to find that. Whether that's a mastermind, a coach, you know, people down the street from you, moms in your neighborhood, whatever your life entails, you've got to ask for that if you want to be successful long term.
And I feel like you've got to ask for that. I like the fact that you phrased it that way, because I feel like so often I'm so guilty of this when I was pursuing something. I mean, prior to starting with Beachbody, I did Insanity by myself. And I did it. Yep. And I'm very, very proud of the fact that I did it, but it was hard to do it and to show up just for me and to hold myself accountable in that way. So I feel like this is a big piece that maybe is underappreciated, is you have to ask for help. Like if you are, and I feel like we're kind of starting to veer into a topic that I did really want to cover in this, is that ultimately being proactive about creating systems, whatever, just being proactive about making sure that you're not the person that come February, you've already given up on whatever big change you said you were going to make in your life, whatever that one thing is that you decided you're going to focus on, like being proactive about making sure you are setting yourself up for success so that you're not that person come February. And I think a big part of that is asking for help. Even if that's asking for, you know, accountability from, you know, your significant other or your best friend or whatever, like ask for it. Like, I don't know what other stuff you would ask for, but I'm sure there's many other things, but asking for that accountability and asking for that help from other people is something I have struggled to do for my entire life. And once I asked, like joining a mastermind at the end of this year has been game changing. Joining, you know, accountability groups with Beachbody was game changing. It just makes it so much easier to know that you're not alone in your struggles and in the days when you don't want to show up, having somebody else remind you of why you wanted it in the first place.
Yeah. And the other piece to that I've found a lot more recently is it's easy to get frustrated if someone isn't supporting you. But we're forgetting that we didn't ask for their support, so they might not even know. So a significant other who's not supporting your business or your health and fitness journey or a friend or family member, if we are willing to own what we can own, we have to be responsible for what we say and what we do. We can't control what someone else thinks, but we are responsible for what we say. So if you have not had the conversation with your significant other or mom or sister or aunt or best friend or whatever about why what you're doing is important to you, but then you find yourself often getting frustrated by their lack of support, I'm going to say, girlfriend, that's on you. Mm-hmm. That's your fault. Right? Whether how they're going to react to you, you can't control that, but you can control if you told them that it's important or if you actually chose to ask for help. Mm-hmm. And I get that often with people that say, you know, my significant other doesn't support me in my business. I'm like, well, have you told him or her that it's important to you and explained why the real reason why this matters and why you would really appreciate their support? Mm-hmm. If you've done that, then you've done everything you can control. Mm-hmm. But if you haven't done that, sounds like you might need to have a conversation going into the new year, setting some new goals up to set some boundaries for yourself and to create a healthy type of accountability, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like a huge part about taking action, since that's been such the theme today, huge part of that is about taking responsibility. And I feel like in this particular instance, taking responsibility means communicating with the people in our lives. This is something that I've actually, and I remember you talking about this on your podcast the other day, because when you said it, I was just like, damn it, she called me out. Because in so many instances, I kept saying that, not in relation to a significant other, but in relation to family supporting my business. And this is actually the really, really interesting thing that I think is an added layer to this, is I, maybe not in so many words, had felt like I had articulated to my family that I want your support in this, but I didn't articulate to them what support looked like. So to me, and it was like the Brené Brown in me is keep saying like the story I'm telling myself. So my parents want me to create a life that and create a career that's successful and that supports me financially in all of these different ways. And so a big part of them trying to support me in creating that was they've been, you know, tapping into all of their resources to find me a career that gives me that. Yep. But how I interpreted that was, you're not supporting the business I'm creating. I never told my parents that your support in helping me create this is to support the coaching business. I never articulated that to them. And I feel like that's a big part of it, is if you are going to ask for support, you have to articulate what support looks like. Does support look like, you know, them working out with you? Does support look like them cheering you on when they see you've had a business victory? Like, articulate to them what support looks like, because they're not mind readers. and just saying, I want your support may not show up in the way you want it. I feel like that's a huge missing.
Reach, girl. Yes. And then like the really difficult part is if they don't give it to you the way that you want it or at all, you have to continue anyway. Right. So, because that's in you for a reason that you want to do this. So you're going to have to figure out how to get those people in your life that will support you. And you can ask yourself, am I supporting other people the way that I would want them to support them? Am I teaching people how to treat me? Am I teaching people how to support me? And those follow-up questions are so huge, right? You know, I think a perfect example is, you know, Ellen, you messaged me multiple like video messages about the podcast. And then when you asked me to be on your podcast, I was like, of course. And I would do it regardless. But it's also, it feels so right when you're like, I want to support you. You want to support me. That's what this whole thing is all about. That's what the personal development space is about. It's about being one of those come with me type of women rather than look at me type of women. Right.
Oh my gosh,
and that's to the core why you're doing a podcast. And I think it's just, it's so powerful. Random tangent, but I just want to give you some recognition for that because I think that's really huge and really powerful.
Yeah. Oh, so good. So good. Okay. So we've talked about action steps people can take. We've talked about we've talked about being proactive from the perspective of asking for what you need from the people in our lives. The one thing I want to touch on, just to tie this up with a nice little bow, is obviously you can be proactive about asking for things from other people, but ultimately it's on us to create, you know, to create the change we want in our lives, whatever that change may look like, it's on us. So we've talked about all of these different things that people can do, enjoy the process, focus on your one thing, et cetera. But what is the key ingredient to take responsibility for ourselves? I'm not articulating this well at all, but that we can do that is on us to be proactive and make sure we stay committed to the change that we say we want in this new year.
I think
did that make any sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, good. It totally did. I think it's exactly, the answer is actually in the question where we want to be proactive. We don't want to be reactive. So how can we not be reactive? We have to be having a plan. We have to have a plan that we can create what it feels like to be in our life with some tangible things. And so I am actually asked this so regularly about work-life balance. And to be honest with you, I think it's like the stupidest thing ever because it's literally not attainable. Nobody has work-life balance. I think that anyone that you look at that you think has it all together, they have help or one thing they've decided to let drop a little bit. And that's okay because we're humans. We can't do it all. So if we want to take ownership and we want to be proactive, I think that we get to seek boundaries, building a life with boundaries rather than having a perfect harmonious balance. So how would I suggest that someone actually does that to give them something concrete? Every single Sunday night, this has worked for me in my business and everything. My boyfriend and I sit down. If you have a significant other, this is huge, or a roommate or someone that's, you know, living with you. If not, you can do this by yourself. And I map out the week that I'm the owner of this week. So what can I control? And obviously some things will just not go your way. But if there's not boundaries in place for your life, you're going to feel really frustrated when someone oversteps, but they don't even know that there's a boundary in place. Like a boundary is a structure, right? Something that you've implemented into your life. But it's really easy to feel like someone else is running your life if you haven't created that structure for yourself. So Sunday nights, we would sit down and map out, okay, when am I getting my workouts done? When am I working on my business? When am I doing XYZ? So you look at your own life and your priorities as you're starting the new year, some of the goals that you have, remember picking one most important goal to start with, I think is crucial, and map that out and block it off into your schedule. Like this is your real game plan and you have to show up. because you have accountability, you have the support, whatever it is, but you own that schedule. Enjoyable.
Yeah.
Yep. All of that, but you're creating boundaries. So you got to ask yourself some of the questions. Am I willing to say no if it's not a hell yes? Right?
Yeah.
You're going to have to say no to some things because they're not in line with your priorities or goals. So when you're mapping out your week, if your priority is, I want to get my health and fitness in check in 2019, well, guess what? You need to put that on your schedule. You need to block off time that you're going to meal prep. You need to block off time that you're going to get your workouts done. You need to block off time that you're going to go grocery shopping, right? You need to block that on your calendar. Otherwise, when life gets crazy, you never blocked it off proactively. So then you have to react by going through fast food, by being like, oh, I'll just skip it today and I'll do it tomorrow. And remember, we're seeking consistency over time to build a business, to advance in our career, to do anything in our life to give us that confidence. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So if we're proactive about building out a game plan, I honestly think that is the most simple action step that I could give you is to sit down on Sunday nights before you start the week and take 20 minutes, 30 minutes to map out what are my social commitments. If you have kids, who's taking the kids to the thing that they need to go to? Or what is required to keep those humans alive, right? we have to map that stuff out. Mm-hmm. I don't have any humans, so like I don't know what's required to keep a human alive, but it's a lot, I know. So as best as we can, map out what we can control, understanding that sometimes it won't go according to plan, but it definitely will not go according to the plan that you have in your head if it's not even written down on paper, right?
Amen.
So that would be my biggest tip for any type of goal or any type of change that you want to make is mapping it out really simply.
Amen. And I'm right there with you. I've been doing that for years as well, like literally all the way, because it was such a necessity when I was in grad school. But and I want to like, A, say that even if you're not in a relationship, don't have small humans, you aren't orchestrating like a whole family here. Even if it's just a person trying to do life right, do this as well. Like this is huge for me. And if it doesn't happen Sunday night, do it first thing Monday morning, but prioritize that at the beginning of your week. And it makes everything so much better. We've talked about Brendon Burchard a lot, so I'm just going to quote him one more time. He always says ambition sucks without a calendar.
Yeah.
And I love that. I always like one of the first things I will say to my clients, and frankly, one of the check-ins that I have with myself is if my goal, if my commitment, whatever, if it's not in my calendar, it's not real. It's just wishful thinking.
Truth.
So like so freaking important. And even for the abstract commitments that you have. If your commitment is, I want to be a better significant other, I want to, you know, get closer to my children or my wife or whatever, put that in your calendar too. Like whatever the commitment is, however abstract or intangible you think it might be, turn it into something actionable. I guarantee you anything can be turned into something actionable. And once you do that, put it in your calendar.
Yes. So good. And I think one thing I would want to add that's kind of a tangent, but talking about Brendon Burchard is if you're not quite sure, if you have this feeling that Ellen and I have both felt at one point in our life, that you have this gut feeling that you want something more or you want something different and you don't know what it is. And so you don't know what your goal is and you feel stuck and then you're in this inaction state. I would say start with your health and fitness. Not because you necessarily need to do that first, but because you're going to feel better and more confident, which confidence provides clarity and gives you more opportunities if you feel good. And Brendon Burchard says that a power plant doesn't have energy. It creates energy, right? Or generates energy. I don't know. Yeah. I don't want to quote him wrong. The concept is that, which means if you need more energy to have more clarity, to decide what it is that you want to do with your life, start with your health and fitness. And that was what I did 5 years ago. I did not think, in fact, if you would have told me that this is what my life would look like now, I would have said you were actually batshit crazy. I don't know if I can swear on here, but I would have never guessed that the thing that I would end up doing would be around health and fitness because that wasn't my passion. The reason that I started is because I didn't know what my thing was. So I figured, let me just start with something that is bothering me. It turned out that thousands of people being impacted by that decision of me starting that. But that wasn't why I started. Mm-hmm. I started selfishly because that bugged me and I needed more energy to go figure out what I wanted to do. So mm-hmm. if that's you, hear me when I say that it's worth starting with yourself and filling your cup to the point of overflow so you can pour from the excess, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that would be my first tip of like, if you don't know what your goal is, start with that goal to just mm-hmm. become a better, happier, healthier, more productive human.
Mm-hmm. Amen. I 1000% agree, because if you don't have, a lot of people think, well, my goal needs to become to figure out what more looks like. So I need to just try all the things to figure out what my thing is. I totally understand that logic, but you will come to a point where you don't have the energy to sustain that. So you've got to create the vitality first. And then you'll be able to more fully and more presently engage into dabbling in all the things to find out ultimately what your thing is. So huge.
Yep.
1000% agree with
you.
Love
that.
Beautiful. Well, I have two questions I love to wrap up every interview with. One of them you've kind of already touched on, and the other one's a little, just ties everything together. First tip is, what one resource, you've already given a few in this, and we've obviously both quoted Brené Burchard like 80,000 times, but what one resource, maybe it's a book, a TED talk, or an online course or something, has really, really helped you, whether it's create clarity in your journey or just create tremendous momentum, that you would recommend to the listeners?
I think a lot of people I've been surprised don't know that you can listen to books on Audible. So you download the app Audible on your phone, and there is so many books that you can listen to, because I think it's helpful to have anyone with whatever your personal goal is, or anyone that is an expert or a subject matter expert in an area of your life that you want to improve on, you have access to these people. And I think there's something about hearing them, like the audible form of media in your ear when you're going about your life, that makes that connection even stronger. Because mm-hmm. a lot of times we don't have time to sit down and watch a YouTube video or watch a documentary or physically read a book in our day and age, especially when life is crazy. Mm-hmm. So I would recommend audio version of podcasts or Audible, and picking something that is based around what you want to fix right now or what you want to improve on right now. I'm going to have to say, honestly, Mel Robbins' 5-second rule, mm-hmm. like I mentioned prior, just because I think it encompasses a really simple way to take action on anything. And then after you've kind of developed that framework to create more energy for yourself and create a trigger for you to take action when you are in that inaction fear state, mm-hmm. you can then build on that, right? Mm-hmm. Then you can pick, okay, well, I want to grow my business. I want to learn about social media. I want to develop this in my relationships. I want to do XYZ. But I think we need a foundation first. Mm-hmm. So I'd recommend that book 1,000,000 times over.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. And for anybody who's just like, well, I don't even know what thing I want to learn more about, literally you can probably Google books on clarity, and you'll find a great resource that you can then listen to on Audible. So don't think your lack of clarity is a reason why you can't use Audible as a resource. All right. So last question, if people are just like, dude, this chick fired me the F up, I love her, how do I continue following her? Where can people find you?
Thank you so much. This has been so much fun. I want to just remind everyone, because I think that I'll answer your question, but I also want to remind everyone what this just made me think of is, it is never going to be a lack of resources, ever, right? It'll just be a lack of resourcefulness. And I think that's so powerful that we never have to say in this day and age that we don't know how to do something. Because like you just said, Ellen, you can type in clarity on Audible and you can find people that have figured this out. So everything is figure-outable. Don't be the thing that's standing in your way. And where you can find me.
Thank you for adding that in. Thank you.
Yeah. I just think you nailed it with that. And I mm-hmm. just, you know, I can't hold back when I have something I have to say. That being said, my favorite platform is Instagram for sure. So Keisha Fitzgerald on Instagram, same handle for Facebook as well. And then I do have a podcast called Empower Her Podcast, which you can search, and we do talk a lot about action and getting out of your own damn way. So Instagram's my jam. I like dancing with my dog on Instagram stories
and dropping truth bombs. Her Instagram stories are my favorite. But yeah, check out her podcast, check out her in all of the places. And if you need a little, you know, health and fitness kick in the booty, she's got you there as well. So
thank you so much, girl. So much, Asia.
Thank you so much for listening. If you love this episode, please share it with your friends so that they can join the tribe as well. Or better yet, share it on Instagram stories so that I can shout you out and send you a huge thank you. Your support means the world to me, and of course, I want to thank you for being a part of the Growth Tribe.